This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy-Stevens,
and three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson on WEEI.
WEEI Afternoons back live at Fenway Park in our Ford Fenway Clubhouse studio is brought to you by your New England Ford dealers and the Ford Summer Sales Event. Hurry in to get great deals now, including on F-Series official truck of the Red Sox. It's a Friday night Fenway, although right now it's a little wet. Here at Fenway Park, the tarp is on the field. Looking at the cameras in the bullpen, the rain's coming down pretty heavily. So some questions as to whether we're going to get this game in, whether we will see the debut of Peyton Tolley against Paul Skeens. The Pirates are in town, but we're holding out hope because it's a special debut potentially for the young Red Sox left-hander with the mustache and the big broad build and everything he brings to the mound. So
he's a brick blankhouse.
Yeah, he is. He is definitely a brick blank house. I feel like that's something we shouldn't say too often because we might say something we're not supposed to say. But so we'll keep an eye on the tarp and on the weather and see where this game is going to go tonight. But the other news of the day from Fenway is that Walker Buehler has been released. He is no longer a member of your Boston Red Sox. Bumped to the bullpen recently. Now he is bumped off the roster. But it is 3 o'clock, and that means, Stiz, it is time for the three-point stand.
319!
Ready!
It's the three-point stance.
I'm going to count to three.
Tatum puts up a three. Bam!
Easy as one, two, three.
Pastrnak, a hat trick and a 4-3 Boston lead.
Three.
And it is gone. A three-run homer and the game is tied.
On WEEI Afternoons.
Today's three-point stance is brought to you by Jeffrey Glassman Injury Lawyers, Boston's go-to injury attorney for over 30 years. If you've been hurt in a car or work accident, you gotta get Glassman. Call all sevens. That's 617-777-7777. As Dan Ball likes to say, three hosts, three opinions at 3 o'clock. But today, it's two hosts and a producer with some opinions here at 3 o'clock. It'll go Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy-Stevens, and then Stiz with a very interesting one that I think a lot of people will have a reaction to. But Stiz, I'm going to put myself on the clock first. Let me know when I'm ready.
Andrew, your 60 seconds begin right now.
So I'm going to take a victory lap, mostly because the big man who would be chasing me in this victory lap isn't here to catch me today and hurt me. Ted Johnson's off. You might remember about 2 months ago, we had our first big fight of WEEI Afternoons. Ted wanted to strangle me, wanted to kill me when I called the Patriots, his team, the team that he said was going to win 10-plus games, the most overrated team in football. I said it then. I stand by it now. And you know what? Others are starting to agree with me. I think the head coach of the New England Patriots is starting to realize how bad his football team might be. And the other aspect is they're suddenly cutting talent. Some of the talent that I thought would be on the roster, some of the veteran talent, some of the best 53 players no longer on the roster. This team doesn't have depth. The health looks questionable when you take into account somebody like Gonzo, who hasn't practiced in a month. We haven't seen a ton from the free agent class. We haven't seen Stephon Diggs on the field. There are so many questions with this team, starting with high-end talent, straight on down through your depth and the rest of the roster. I said it in May. The Patriots were the most overrated team in football when everybody was penciling them in for the playoffs. I feel even stronger about it now. The Patriots were the most overrated team in football. Now they could be a low single-digit win team again.
Wow.
Everybody's worried. You can pretend you're not, but you're worried.
I'm actually not going to pretend I'm not worried.
So, Mister, you were a 10-win guy.
I was.
Where are you now? Well, you don't have to do it officially, but it's come down significantly.
Oh, yeah. This is the second time it's come down.
I'm actually a little surprised. Excuse me. I'm actually a little bit surprised
today
that we haven't seen any adjustments in the win total. You know, like
sometimes... Oh, the Vegas win total. I believe if you were to go to your FanKings or DraftDuel right now, neither's a sponsor, right, Ken? Okay, good. I think it's still 8.5.
Oh yeah, no, I know. And I don't think it should be. This is not an 8.5 fence team. This is a team that should be probably down. I lowered my win projection total to 6.5 recently. I think that's closer to where reality stands. We've had a lot of guests on here. We've asked them to list the strengths of the Patriots and they struggle. By the way, stick around for another 20 minutes or so. And we'll talk to our friend Mike Giardi. quick tease.
He
was one of the first people, the only people that I saw earlier this week actually alluded to keep an eye on Jabril Peppers. So Mike Giardi heard or saw something. We'll talk to him about that weird Peppers cut in just a little bit. But you ask these guys, the Currens of the world, the Giardis of the world, all these others, and they're like, yeah, there's a lot of questions with this team. Boy, this line. First of all, it would be nice to know who the starting line was. Do we know that yet?
No. With the opening line on the next week's game?
No. The starting offensive line, the most important unit on your football
team.
Nobody
has no idea. If I had to guess right now, you'd probably go Campbell, Wilson, Bradbury, Owenu, and Morgan Moses.
So we're guessing. Great, we're guessing.
But we don't have anything final.
Who are going to be the two starting corners?
Carlton Davis and...
Oh, yeah, good. See, you want to put DJ James out there? Maybe AA, Alec Austin. Maybe the guy they just got from the Rams picking up.
Alex
Austin. Oh, wait. Did you notice how many...
I will like to ask, how many practice squad guys got flipped yesterday?
I believe it was three.
Three or four?
Maybe four. Yeah, so you're not even keeping your own guys on the practice squad. You know why? Not that good. Wait, did all your guys that you cut get claimed?
All right.
Did they get claimed?
Okay, no, they didn't.
No, they didn't get...
None of them got claimed.
How come? Your team stinks.
Wait. So why would you, this is a legitimate question, why would you keep a guy on the roster? And this just in, if I were to go right now to FanDuel or BetMGM and it was 8.5, I'd bet the under.
Yeah. Some of us bet the under a long, long time ago.
But that said, the depth issues across this roster on both sides of the ball, especially now on defense, are starting to become a little disconcerting. I just don't understand how you finalize a roster earlier in the week on Tuesday, 4:00, keep a guy, bring him to the Patriots opening night event where sponsors, super fans, the rich, famous, and fabulous of Foxborough and beyond get to co-mingle with the players. They get introduced on stage. They wave to the crowd. And then 36 hours later, they're being jettisoned, kicked to the curb, and told, you are no longer welcome here.
Maybe he thought he was going to win the Ron Burton Community MVP Award, and when he didn't, when Hunter Henry took it from him, he threw a hissy fit.
Hey, you know who was not going to win that award was Jabril Peppers.
No, that's what I was saying.
Yeah.
False sense. I mean, sure, he does lots of stuff. He started a rap career.
What does that have to... He was also arrested last year.
Yeah, he was. That was last year. It was a different year. Doesn't that reset every calendar year? It's like forgotten. Boom, you get Men in Black and it's all gone. But no.
Not so much.
I just... I find it interesting that some of the negativity I've been accused of spewing with the Patriots, people seem to be jumping on the negative bandwagon. The overall talent of the team and the expectations. Oh, and the offensive line. I said it might be worse than it was last year. Everybody called me wrong-headed radio, or at least Tom Curran did. And then I turn on Tom Curran's TV station, and I see under Phil Perry's name the word atrocious offensive line.
You don't even want to give him credit for being NBC Sports Boston, huh?
Nope.
Just going to call it Tom Curran's TV station.
It's his world. We're just living in it. So, yeah, I'm taking a victory lap. I don't know if Ted is quite ready to accept the
But don't relish it, though, because then you got to leave yourself a little room, the same way that you called the Red Sox season over, basically, after
I pushed
the
panic
deadline.
Button.
You did. You pushed the panic button. So don't, I mean, if you're going to stay here, like if you're going to be here.
I'm here.
This is your lane.
I'm here and I'm concerned.
Okay.
Also doesn't mean it won't be an interesting season. Also doesn't mean that it can't be productive. I do believe this is going to be a productive season for Mike Vrabel and Drake May and Josh McDaniels. I just don't think the production is going to show up in as many wins as you people would like to see.
Well, I would like to continue to ride the coattails of your concern about the New England Patriots in my three-point stance.
So, are you ready, Nick Fitzy Stevens?
You know what? I am, Andy.
Starts right now. I've seen TV.
I just sort of
You ever watch Survivor? They do that delayed pause?
Yeah, they do.
Now, we didn't throw to a commercial. They usually throw to a commercial.
Well, Dan Ball, not to say you have to do it like Dan Ball does, but Dan Ball does, and your time begins now, so that way you get ready for it.
Pregnant pause.
Okay. All right, ready? Three.
Starts now.
Okay. I am here to tell you that right now, your Boston Red Sox are the hottest ticket in town, and that's very obvious. And no, not just because left-handed Paul Skenes could be making his major league debut tonight against actual right-handed or proper Paul Skenes, which could be one of the most electric nights at Fenway in an otherwise stunning, surprising, shocking, and spectacular season for your Boston Red Sox. Yeah, there's a lot of excitement around the Red Sox, and there seems to have been a lot of excitement around the New England Patriots, but for some reason, as Andy was just alluding to, that excitement is dissipating. So I am here to tell you, though there is still a lot of excitement and anticipation in the air, it doesn't quite seem as palpable as it was 2 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, 6 weeks ago. So I'm here to say right now, the pressure is officially on the New England Patriots next Sunday in the home debut of Mike Vrabel, first year coach of the New England Patriots, against Geno Smith, Pete Carroll, and Tom Brady's Las Vegas Raiders, Because if the Patriots don't show up, if the Patriots don't show out, if it's not a competitive game, if they don't win, if they get blown out, if it's not interesting, and the Red Sox are rolling towards the postseason, remember, Andy, a long time ago, this was a baseball town, and they also had a football team. Tom Brady, Bill Belichick, Gronk, Edelman changed the narrative. Patriots better watch out, because if they don't perform up to snuff or expectation, Sox might be taken over.
You telling me we're almost back to being a baseball town?
Look at the way things are lining up right now.
Baseball's
you
back,
have
baby?
A baseball team.
It isn't boring.
Meyer. No, it is not. Roman Anthony, Tolley, Bayo, Crochet. There's just young, Narvaez. There's young stars who are actually delivering.
Wait,
all over
rewind
the place.
That was the most important thing you've said this entire 3-point stance.
Young stars who are actually delivering.
100%. I could not agree with that more. We've talked ourselves into some stars down in Foxborough that still need to deliver. Gonzo's great.
One.
Now
and, by the way, he still has a nagging hamstring that has him in street clothes every day, and we're 9 days out. Even David Andrews was tweeting about the fact that he's concerned.
Well, David Andrews is like us. He's just a fan or media member now. Sorry, David. It's true. You're just sort of a guy who observes the Patriots like us with a lot of experience playing for the Patriots.
Yeah.
But if you look at Gonzo, so he's the guy that's delivered, right?
He has.
How many games did he play his rookie year?
3.5.
Yeah. And then how many games are we worried about him playing this year?
At least the first one.
Yeah. I'm worried about all of them. Because hamstrings tend to nag.
Soft tissue injuries.
Awful. Especially at positions where you have to be reactionary and explosive. That's something to monitor. So he's the given star.
Soft tissue injuries linger a long time.
Who is the other star that has developed down there? Name
well,
it.
The world wants to tell you that Drake May is Josh Allen 2.0. A lot of us still
have... Oh, what? I'd like him to get his second win first.
Do you know who I think is actually going to, between Drake May and other potential offensive stars? I think Travion Henderson is going to be further along come October than...
You think?
Than Drake
I don't
May.
Have to think about Brian Bayo. I don't have
I
to
believe.
Think about Roman
no,
Anthony.
No, he's arrived.
Roman
he's
Anthony arrived. Has a 400 on base percentage. Brian Bayo has the fifth best ERA in baseball or whatever the hell the number is. Like, he is now a legit... high-end rotation guy for you. They are developing stars that even Raffaello, with the inconsistencies, has developed into a game changer. A
well,
game
especially
maker.
Well, when you add, it's like with a guy like Raffaello, it's like you have somebody who's playing all-world cornerback and occasionally gets snaps at receiver and is pretty good. Like,
yeah, well, no, not pretty good.
His offense is intermittently excellent.
He's a gold glove second baseman.
Defense is spectacular. Yeah, and he's the best center fielder in baseball.
Right, but he is a gold glove second baseman. The more I watch him, if he played there every day, he is a gold glove second baseman.
He's
athleticism,
a freakish athlete.
Now, you never would. I'm trying to think in my head, like, well, who's the most athletic second base? Well, you don't really have a super athletic second baseman, because if he's super athletic at second base, they call him shortstop.
Jose Reyes.
They move him over. So he's a phenom, but I do think... The way, and Vrabel's been a part of this. Our guy Ted was the one who brought this up the other day, joking about did Vrabel forget his testosterone injection for the day or the week and the press conference.
Like, did he not have his coffee with almond milk and three Splendas? Like, he seemed, I described him
face.
As Belichickian.
He's the face of the franchise.
And let me tell you, Drake May has a full season to take that mantle over. And our guy Mike Giardi, who we'll have on in 15 minutes, was the first to say, offseason MVP, face of your franchise is your head coach. To this day, to this moment, at this time, Drake May has still not taken it over and said, thanks, coach, I got it. I'm the face of the franchise. Sure, you saw him in the Nor'easter Storm Blue rivalry jerseys and that fancy ad and all the promo photos. To me, Mike Vrabel is still the Patriot.
And we talk about the Patriots winning the offseason. Well, the Red Sox kind of won the offseason, whether it's bringing up these top 100 prospects who actually contribute and are successful, or, I don't know, Crochet, Chapman, Bregman. If the Patriots are even close to as successful with Milton Williams, Carlton Davis, and Stephon Diggs as the Red Sox have been with Crochet, Chapman, and Bregman, then the Patriots will make the playoffs. Now, I don't think they will be, but if you, that's the pace you're trying to keep track with. The young guys are better. The acquisitions are better from a Red Sox perspective. So I think you're right. We are teetering. We're teetering on a baseball town again, baby.
What if next, let's just say, for poor ejemplo, what if next Sunday is Raiders 24, Pats 13?
Then I'll say kind of what I expected.
And the Red Sox are 80-62 or 63.
Yeah, I don't think that's a, some of you people erroneously penciled that in as an easy win on opening day.
I never
understood it. I don't know why you're, you know, thumbing your nose at Pete Carroll, thumbing your nose at Geno Smith.
I've been the one who's been standing atop the freaking lighthouse yelling,
Will Campbell probably is going to be good, but he's going to have a hell of a matchup, whether it's Kuntz or Crosby. Crosby, Crosby.
Can't say that word on the radio. What's that guy's name?
Malcolm Kuntz.
All right, Stiz, are you ready for your three-point stance?
I'll give it a go, Andrew.
Could I get a more confident response? Stiz, are you ready for your three-point stance?
You better be ready for the best three-point stance you've ever heard in the history of this show.
All right, your 60 seconds starts right now.
All right, guys, I've had a lot of firsts in my life. My first kiss, my first horror movie, my first trip to Hooters. But in the next few days, I am ready for another first, okay? And it is college football. Never in my 40 years of life have I been excited for a college football game.
Love this.
And it's not Saturday. It's not Texas versus Ohio. Oh, no, no, no. It is Monday night at 8 o'clock. You can watch it on ESPN. You can listen to it right here on WEEI. It is going to be picture-perfect weather, 75 degrees, and that is the debut of the Bill Belichick era college football, UNC versus TCU. Let's go, Tar Heels.
Well done, Stiz, first of all. I agree with you, second of all. I may have erroneously in the past said I wouldn't be watching. I'll be watching Monday night. And I think the biggest thing you just hit on is right. There are some football people that might poo-poo it because they're like, TCU, UNC, they're not going to be that good. UNC's not a football. It's the peripheral fan, the casual fan that is like, Bill Belichick's coaching in college, first game, I got to see that.
Oh, there's a lot of me's out there.
Yeah, 100%. And you know, could see, like, for example, I always use my mother as the rule. Now? An 80-year-old woman, does she care about UNC normally? No. There's a good chance my mother will be watching UNC football on Monday night because Bill Belichick, who was on the sideline in New England, the all-time great GOAT hoodie, and then you'll get all the blogs. That's the other thing. It goes so far. There'll be blogs. I promise you this. There will be blogs about what he's wearing. What does he look like on the sideline? What's his attire?
They've already done sleeves. Carolina Football already released a teaser video about what uniforms they're wearing, and it was at a dry cleaner, and somebody was picking up the uniforms and coming off the rack in like the cellophane was UNC gray hoodie.
Absolutely. Sleeve, no, people will care. That will be Boston.com's aggregators are all, they've already prepared
it's going,
the template.
And it's going, and if they win Monday night, guess what you're going to see a lot of around here? UNC Nike brand Jordan 23 Belichick hoodies.
Oh, I was going to say calls to bring them back to the NFL, but yeah, that too.
Yeah, there might be some. If they're super impressive, you may get those early, Stiz. We are overreactionary. We learned that lesson with Dion at Colorado the last couple years. Immediately, everybody's like, Colorado's great. Dion's great. Bring him to the NFL. They're a 500 football team at best. They petered out as the season went on, and they played real teams.
Can I do another three-point stance? Because
that works.
No. All right.
Three hosts, three thoughts, damn 3 it. O'clock.
Because I want to ask, why the hell is Massachusetts proposing a new state flag?
I don't know anything about that. What does that have to do with this discussion?
I saw it on the Twitter.
You should be focusing on the discussion we're having.
I thought it was done.
Someone didn't take their Adderall today.
No kidding. Focus.
I need another soda.
You need something. 617-779-7937. Do you want to react? Are you rooting for Bill Belichick? We'll get into that a little bit deeper later. That was today's poll from at Jumbo Hart on my Twitter account at WEEI Afternoons. And I was a little surprised with the results. We'll share those with the audience later. Up next, though, here on WEEI Afternoons, our buddy Mike Giardi, maybe the only person in New England who thought there was a chance Jabril Peppers could be cut. He'll talk about it next here with us. And first, Fitzy is going to bring you what's trending.
You're listening to WEEI Afternoons with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson.
WEEI Afternoons back live at Fenway Park in our Ford Clubhouse Fenway studio, brought to you by your New England Ford dealers and the Ford Summer Sales Event. Hurry in to get great deals now, including on F-Series official truck of the Red Sox. Let's go to the phone lines now for one of our favorite phone guests, our friend Mike Giardi, that I just screwed up. So, Stiz, can you pot him up? And he has the best phone hit intro in the business.
It's time for Mike Giardi.
Stink, stank, and stunk.
The bulging in his disc, in his back,
the bulging disc in his back.
What do you gain by keeping Bill Belichick around?
I want to see as much Drake May as possible.
Angry Giardi is here.
Wiggy appears to have a bit of a man crush on Cam.
I don't know if you want to take the cheese again.
Mike Giardi, folks, is an angry man.
I'm not pissed today.
I've got you by at least 2 inches.
On Boston Sports Original, WEEI.
Mike Giardi, Boston Sports Journal, may be an angry man, but he's also a right man a lot, and apparently maybe the only guy in Boston sports media who had an inkling that Jabril Peppers could be a former Patriot at some point this week. That happened today. The Patriots cut Jabril Peppers. Mike, why did you think he was a guy to keep an eye on, and what the hell happened?
Yeah, very interesting, Andy, right? I think leading into the preseason finale, all of a sudden his reps sort of decreased with the ones, and he started getting more run with the two, and then he obviously plays the first four series of the third preseason game. I know some people speculated, well, they just want to get him reps with Woodson. It was odd. I mean, they gave a lot of starters the day off. They gave Trevion Henderson, a rookie, they gave him the day off. Will Campbell, day off. Not Jabril Peppers. And then when they came back from the third preseason game, he was strictly on the two with the twos. It was him and Duggar. Every once in a while, they'd go big nickel, they'd bring him in. But it was just like, very odd. And then you start to wonder, like, well, if they can't trade Duggar, maybe they'd trade Jabril. Turns out, to this point, they could trade neither. And in fact, they release Peppers. I was told not a disciplinary thing, like nothing happened off the field. I know some people were wondering based on, you know, some of his legal issues last year when he was on the commissioner's list. Nothing. They're trying to basically say it's a scheme thing, to which I would say, I mean, maybe not the perfect scheme fit, but there's no way he's not one of your best 53.
Yeah, I just don't see a New England Patriots team that is bereft of depth being better without a Kyle Duggar, or now without a Jabril Peppers, who still rates pretty high, according to Andy's favorite website, PFF, as far as on-field play. And the guy, we both know, you know, Mike, the guy hits like a hammer as well. Is there something to this along the lines of, you know, reading into how supposedly in the Mike Vrabel, Terrell Williams defense, there's a lot of man coverage and more running that goes into it as opposed to like big hits from the safeties?
I mean, there is. I mean, they're definitely gonna play more man, and Peppers obviously, like Duggar, his best role is to be the box safety and to come downhill and deliver blows. But, you know, 2 years ago when he had, aside from with him and Christian Barmore were the two best players, period, he played in space a lot. So, yeah, he's a little older, and maybe he's not as quick as he once was, but it's not as if he can't do it. So,
right,
you know, to roll into the season with Jalen Hawkins, who to me is just mid, you know, and then Craig Woodson, who's a rookie, and I like him, and he's smart, hasn't made a lot of plays this summer, not only in games but on the practice field. And then I guess Del Pettis is your third safety, and I like Del Pettis, but, you know, undrafted free agent from 2 years ago. What used to be a strength, I don't think it's a strength anymore.
Mike, this roster, there seems to be more and more examples. First of all, you're letting go of players like Kendrick Bourne and Jabril Peppers, who I think we all believe are probably top 53 in this group right now, regardless of scheme or attitude or age, whatever. And you release a bunch of players, they don't get claimed. And then a couple days later, you're tweaking your own practice squad and adding guys that weren't your own bodies, which is sort of the norm in the NFL these days, where you just basically keep a lot of guys you had in training camp and keep working with them. Is this roster worse than maybe we thought it was?
Some of us thought it was.
What the hell does that mean?
I've never bought into like the double-digit win thing. Should they be playing meaningful football in December based on what they've done with the roster and certainly with the coaching staff? Yes, but that doesn't mean double-digit wins. And you can tell me all you want about the schedule, but just like you look at the schedule and say it's a weak schedule, there are the teams that dot your schedule that look at you and go, that's not a very good football team. We should win that game. I don't care what Vegas says, you know, with their favorite in 11 games, we should win that game. So I just think that they're paper thin in a lot of spots. You know, like you look at it and he's like, if something happens to Robert Splaine, good player, right? Like the signing. Hmm. But like, he's not the best linebacker in the world, but if something happens to him, what happens next? Like you don't have much behind him. There's a bunch of spots like that. Never mind the fact that, like, again, we've talked about how much they put into the offensive line or tried to put in the offensive line. And then the things that they did when they struck out on those, you know, forays into free agency. But like, we don't know. you're going to be starting two rookies on the left side. Like, all the promise in the world for both those guys. They're talented dudes. First go round in the NFL could be ugly.
Mike Giardi from Boston Sports Journal, as well as cover model for Gentleman's Quarterly, joining us here on WEEI. Sure. After
Old Gentleman's Quarterly.
They have OGQ?
Yeah. Are you 60 yet? Do you have an AARP card?
You get that at 50.
I'm almost there. Not 60. I'm almost for an AARP card. I can't even speak. I think it's 55 you get your card. There's a lot of benefits.
50. I got mine last year.
How cheap is the movie for you guys? Is that like $6 or something?
I don't do movies.
I saw Giardi at dinner the other night at 4:30. It was great.
Yeah, it was delicious. $9.95, all you can eat.
And the Red Sox hadn't even won, Andy. Yeah, all right. So, Mike, let's take a look to next week. Obviously, like, we've been talking so much about roster turnover, who's going to make it, who's not, trying to trade safeties, etc. There is a significant football game that's about to be played in 9 days, and I'm a little concerned that people regionally are not taking the Raiders as seriously as they should. What do you think the Patriots offense looks like when they take the field against the Raiders next Sunday at 1 o'clock? Like, what kind of game, what kind of scheme do you think we're going to see?
I think it's going to be run heavy. I think there's going to be some play action off that. Now, the key with the play action is you're trying to put Drake under center is some of his misfires, some of his bad misfires in the preseason came when he was under center. And then, you know, particularly in the game against Minnesota, after the second misfire, he didn't throw another pass that wasn't out of shotgun. So that's going to be a part of it. Can he make those adjustments? Can he calm his feet down enough so that he can set and make those throws? But look, I think it makes sense to lean on the run game early. You've got three people that you trust there in Henderson, who's obviously had a great summer, Stevenson and Gibson. You've got an offensive line that you feel like is good run blocking regardless. You know, we'll see about the pass blocking. That's going to be the bigger challenge. But you feel like that's a good thing. So, like, ball control, you know, that to me strikes me as a good way to sort of break into this thing. And, you know, Raiders defense is there. You know, Max Crosby's obviously awesome, and they're going to have a plan to deal with him. But with Christian Wilkins and that whole thing and the way it went down, they're not the same kind of defensive front that you could have been facing. So from that end, like, there's some potential to move them around a little bit in the run game.
Mike, we talked to you last week, and it was the early stages of the rat situation, the post-game comment. Vrabel kind of backtracked from that a little bit on Monday on the Greg Hill Show. But we do have this situation where Elliott Wolf's drafts, not great. Elliott Wolf's signings in recent years, not great. Are we going down a road where Elliott Wolf's time in New England is numbered?
I mean, it's hard not to look at all the things that Vrabel has done with Ryan Cowden and with John Stryker since they've been here and not look at the way they targeted the 2024 draft, of which there are very few guys left They could be moving on from another one of those guys, I think maybe sooner rather than later. And then you have the free agent guys, all those guys that they gave contracts to. Now, there was a big debate at the time in 2024 in the offseason. And I remember being kind of, I don't want to say the lone wolf over there, but like, I didn't love the idea of re-signing like most of the core of a 4-13 team. That team let that happen. There were guys on that team that just sort of like, they turtled when it started to go bad. And you're like, that's not exactly the guys you want to build off of, and yet that's what they did. And now how many of them are gone? Five, I think, have been sent packing. And then there are two other ones, in Duggar and Anthony Jennings, who I'm quite certain could be had if someone wants to make an offer. So, yeah, that's a pretty telling shot across Elliott Wolf and maybe Matt Groh's bow about, you know, what you guys did. Like, we could be better off if maybe you hadn't messed this up as much as you did.
Ted has a theory that Elliott Wolf is here because he's the eyes and ears of Robert Kraft within the Vrabel world. Do you think that's true?
Moles are like rats, right?
Yeah, moles, rats, barns, similar.
Yeah, I would say that they like him. So whether you want to deduce because the Krafts like him, that then he becomes their eyes and ears. You know, I think it was more of a, hey, Mike, you can bring in who you want. But Elliott's under contract. We like Elliott. We'd like to see you guys try to make this work. And, you know, if it can't, we'll readdress it in the offseason. So I think that's sort of the path that we're headed on.
All right, Mike. Christian Gonzalez has not practiced, played. He ain't done squat except wear street clothes and look good in jersey release videos. 0 to 10, what is your level of concern that he doesn't suit up week one?
I would say we're getting there. You know, I'd probably put myself at about a 6.5, 7 right now. And I think the beginning of, and I would say the beginning of the next week is huge. You know, when they get back on the field, I believe Wednesday is full go. You know, they have the weekend off. That's going to be telling. If he's not out there, I doubt that they rush him back. You know, there's no question they want him out there. He's their best player. But conditioning is important. He's going to be doing a lot of running. And if there's concerns that it's not fully right, you can't really mess with it, because we've been down this road before where a guy comes out there and he plays and then it's a little tight, and then maybe he tries next week, and then the next week, he's limping off the field, and then you don't see him for 6 weeks. This team can't afford that. So if it means, again, if we don't see him early next week, if that means he's not there for week one and maybe week two, like, I get it, because you want to make sure that when he gets in there that he stays in there.
Okay, so I tried this last week. I don't think it went well when I tried to get you to say something positive about the Patriots, something you felt good about.
Well, let's try it again then.
Let's do it again, baby. It's still an 8.5 win line in Vegas. So there's still that, could they win 7? Could they win 9? Some people like Chris Sims said, they're a playoff team all day. So paint me a picture, Mike Giardi, of the upside of the 2025 New England Patriots. If it comes up mostly roses for this team, how does that play out?
Okay, so Drake's got to make the leap, no question. I think that Stephon Diggs has to be something close to the Stephon Diggs that we saw last year before the knee injury. Again, I'm not asking him to be 2021 Diggs, but if he's first half of 2024 Diggs, absolutely, that'd be a great thing for this offense, because they haven't had a guy like that for some time. Will Campbell will take his lumps, but learns from it as he goes along, and that left side solidifies, and all of a sudden you're like, hey, we got building blocks on the offensive line. When was the last time that happened? And then defensively, to me, like, if Barmore and Williams stay healthy and play something close to their salaries, can somebody, whether it's Landry, whether it's Kalavon Chiasson, or what I was hoping for was Keon White, can one of those guys be hard to block in one-on-ones? Because they're going to get singled up a ton if the two guys in the interior are good. And if that's the case, and your cornerbacks are playing, the ones, you know, the potential all-pro and Gonzalez and Carlton Davis, who we know misses about a month every year, but if they're playing and then you're getting somebody flying off the edge who's hard to block, there you go. There's your 10 wins, and there's your potential playoff spot.
And Mike Giardi, football fan, Mike Giardi, sports dad, how much are you looking forward to this seemingly awesome college football kickoff weekend, and how glued to the tube will you be Monday night for Chapel Bills debut against TCU?
Wait, did you violate a trademark there? Do you have to pay somebody?
Yeah,
that?
You can't say that.
I owe Jordan a ton of money now.
Yeah, you son of a gun.
Chapel William.
Chapel Bill.
I'm excited for it. I love the way that they sort of stacked. There's some really good, I mean, the Texas, Ohio State for week one is, or week zero, as they call it. That's awesome. Like, that's put me down. Don't call me. Don't ask me to do anything. I am locked in to that for sure. And then, Monday night, I mean, I have no idea how it's going to go. I'm curious, though, because as I said before, I think the idea of Bill now coaching 18, 19-year-olds, it's a whole different game from the people that he used to be successful with. And can he condense his game plans and make it digestible for those kids, as opposed to the stuff that he used to give, you know, the Patriots in the heyday? Like, I'm really curious to see how that plays.
Can't there be an argument made, though, that the reason why he's been hanging around with Jordan is so he can relate to younger people?
Well, I mean,
relating?
Chess versus checkers? Chess versus checkers right there. Yeah, you see Belichick, he hooked up with the young girl. So when he made the switch to college, he knew how to talk to these guys.
I ain't saying she a gold digger. She is, actually. She's trademarking it. Before we let you go, Michael, tell me why you hate the rivalry jerseys and why you love fighting with people about it on social media.
Wow.
Well, first of all, can we just say, if you want to laugh, read the responses. I don't like the jersey. People were telling me to go jump off, which, you know, whatever, that's fine. It was kind of funny to see the overreaction. It looks nothing like the Patriots. It feels like I'm watching the University of Memphis play football, or one of these weird jerseys. Like, what is the color? Storm gray? Like, come on. can we call it what it is? It's a straight up money grab. They want people to buy jerseys. You give you the pink jerseys for the breast cancer stuff, which the league barely donates any money to. You got the salute to service ones. It's always something. Like, I feel like I'm watching an XFL football game when I look at those jerseys.
And Buffalo's is better, if we're being honest.
I don't like any of them. Burn them all.
That's perfect. That's Mike Giardi, Boston Sports Journal. He hates everything. We all aged with him during that interview. We'll talk to you next week, Mike, when we have real football to get ready for.
I love both of you, though.
All right, thanks,
you're the best,
Mike.
Buddy. Have a good weekend.
We'll talk to you.
See ya.
Football Talk on WEEI is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Up next here on WEEI Afternoons, we'll react to a couple things Mike Giardi just said and how much he struggled to say something positive about the Patriots. If you really listened, there was negativity even in the dream scenario for the Patriots. That's up next here on WEEI Afternoons.
Now, more of WEEI Afternoons
with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson.
Leading into the preseason finale, all of a sudden his reps sort of decreased with the ones, and he started getting more run with the two, and then he obviously plays the first four series of the third preseason game. I know some people speculated, well, they just want to get him reps with Woodson. It was odd. And then you start to wonder, like, well, if they can't trade Duggar, maybe they'd trade Jabril. Turns out, to this point, they could trade neither. They're trying to basically say it's a scheme thing, to which I would say, maybe not the perfect scheme fit, but there's no way he's not one of your best 53.
That was Mike Giardi with us just moments ago here on WEEI Afternoons. If you missed that interview, want to go back and listen, you can download the Odyssey app to your phone, AUDACY. Make sure you spell it right, because I gave my email address out, my Odyssey email address out to somebody the other day, and they put like ODDSSY or so. I was like, yeah, that's not even close.
Like ODYSSEY?
It was the weirdest thing. And they were like, yeah, maybe that's why you haven't been getting these emails. It's all screwed up in here. So AUDACY to get the app. You can use the rewind feature. You can follow WEEI Afternoons podcast, not only on the Odyssey app, on WEEI.com. You can go to iHeart, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. But Mike Giardi had a little inkling that maybe Peppers was trending in the wrong direction. I'm going to say this. Julius Peppers is going to play significant defensive snaps for somebody in the National Football League.
What about Jabril?
Jabril, why do I keep doing that?
Because Julius Peppers is one of the
better
two-sport athletes. Yes, he's better, and also one of the best two-sport athletes of this century.
Gosh darn it.
He was a Bo Jackson or a Deion Sanders for the 21st.
Let's not get ridiculous. Not even close.
All right.
Not even close.
He would get into the club. He doesn't have to be.
Quick side note.
Yeah.
You know what Will Middlebrook's dog name is?
What? Bo?
Dog's name, not his dog. Dog. Yeah, Bo Jackson Middlebrooks. I don't know if you noticed down in Baltimore, they had, I don't know what you call it, dog day, where you're allowed to bring your dog to the ballpark.
Was it an afternoon game?
Yeah, oh yeah. And there were dogs everywhere, which seems like a liability. How do you avoid dog fights in the stands at Baltimore?
You don't know why. You just keep feeding them popcorns and hot dogs, and then you worry about it later.
Maybe. But yeah, Will Fleming asked him, and son of a gun, his dog is Bo Jackson Middlebrooks. So yeah, Jabril Peppers will play significant snaps in the NFL for a defense this year.
Yep.
He's good.
And you know where he's going to go? He strikes me as one of those guys. He's going to join Walker Buehler on the Dodgers. He strikes me as somebody who's going to be like, you know what? Fine. I'll see if New York, Miami, or Buffalo wants me.
Oh, absolutely. He's got a little loyalty in him.
You don't think
he'll be doing the pump or the Raiders?
Exactly.
He'll be like, Raiders, I don't know if you want me. Can I just play for a week? Cut me again after next week. I don't care. Just let me hit Drake May or Ramondre Stevenson or Travion Henderson.
I wouldn't be surprised, because the Bills just re-signed for depth purposes Jordan Poyer, who left for a year, went to Miami, came back. He kind of stinks. Jabril Peppers is definitely better.
You're saying this could be Lawyer Malloy 2.0? The safety goes to the Bills the week of the regular season opener?
I'd put small potatoes on that.
And according to you, he would upgrade his rivalry jersey from the crappy blue one to the sweet ice white
one? I didn't say it
was
a crappy blue one. I just happen to think that the Buffalo Bills have the best of the 8 rivalry jerseys.
Most people tend to, but from what I've seen, a lot of people put the Patriots higher than some of you people do. Like, I saw some rankings, blogs, and they were in like the top 3.
Arizona got a lot of love, too.
And then there were people like, it kind of looks like a tortilla wrap if you look closely. It's got specs.
I think it looks like a Vice golf ball.
617-779-7937. Lots of comings and goings today at Fenway Park. Walker Buehler gone. Peyton Tolley's here. Jabril Peppers gone. Paulie in Dedham's been waiting for a while to address this Peppers situation. What's up, Paulie?
Hey, guys. You know, I was kind of hoping you were going to keep Bradford on so I could take a couple of swings at him. He had a couple of some not very nice personal things to say about me last time I had him on the air, which is about a little over a year ago. But he escaped luckily. I was going to tell him about how one of the last things Peter Townsend did before he left, walked off the stage with the Who the other night, was turn and wave to me. Give me a nice wave. It
nice.
Was me all night. It was beautiful. You know, every time I moved around, it was like a gun on a turret. They'd turn, whole band, they'd face me. They were on me all night. It was great.
Nice. What's your Peppers take?
Band. It was piss. So
what's your Peppers take?
I don't know. You know, one thing that people don't understand is that, and I haven't heard mentioned yet, is that Jabril Peppers was not the same player after he came back from suspension after his legal issue. Guys would come through the line with the ball running, and he wasn't filling it up like he had before. They were running right by him. He went out quietly last year. I didn't keep a close eye on him this year, but he is getting older. He's not getting younger, and I just don't think he ever made it back.
All right, thanks for the call, Paulie. I've seen some of this. This retroactive, why are you surprised? Well, I'm surprised because
he made the roster.
He not only made the roster, the bulk of the summer, there was a lot going on at safety around him. It was like he was the constant. Let's figure out who's going to be with him.
Will it be Duggar? Will it be Woodson? Hawkins. Will it be Hawkins?
All Penny. These guys. He was the constant. We had our guy Ted Johnson talking about Vrabel likes him and his attitude and his energy. The guy brings energy. If we're going to praise Stephon Diggs for bringing energy, we got to praise Jabril Peppers for bringing energy. And I am not going to say what those two guys have in common, but they do have something in common that could tell you why they bring a lot of energy to the football field. But we're not going there. And then all of a sudden he's cut after the regular season rosters have been set. And he didn't even get the initial Kendrick Bourne treatment, which is one day later. We're like at the end of the week. We're in an off day. So this is all weird. I do think it's interesting that Mike Giardi said, according to his reporting, according to his sourcing, there was nothing in terms of off the field or anything there. So I guess maybe it's just a scheme fit. Were they then trying to trade him? Was it one of those they didn't want to just cut him with all that initial wave of cuts? They would try to trade him. I don't know. But Christian and I on the old show used to have the old sniff test. Mm-hmm. This doesn't really pass the sniff test.
It doesn't.
Something wrong here.
Why would he get cut 2.5 days after the roster cut down and a day and a half after they had the team introductory dinner at the stadium? It doesn't make sense. That seems a little cruel and unusual to me. People are calling this lawyer Malloy. This feels Mankins-esque. Remember, he went to the big introductory
dinner. Not as good, but yeah.
No, but he only played for another year and a half, and then he said, I'm all set with this. Thanks.
Yeah, but
I know.
Logan Mankins, borderline Hall of Fame.
I know. But like, he gets introduced next thing you know, like next day, like, oh, you've been traded. Like, it just feels odd. I don't
like it.
I don't like it either.
I don't like the vibes this week has sent. Maybe we just need to flush this week and get to next week, the game week. Go have a nice cookout on Labor Day weekend and then come back ready to actually have a roster, a football team, a chance in hell against the Raiders. I would like all of those things. 617-779-7937. Coming up on WEEI Afternoons, we're going to try something new. We had an idea. We were spitballing. We're going to try it. And I'm just going to tell you a little quick sampling. You're going to have to tune in for the rest of it. It has to do with Goldilocks and her porridge and how it relates to Boston sports stories. That's up next here on WEEI Afternoons.